Warning, the following episode will contain spoilers for all published works of George R. R. Martin, as well as all aired episodes of Game of Thrones, but not anything leaked on the internet recently. We're not covering that stuff.
All right, hello, welcome back to DragonCast for our Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 4, The Spoils of War, review, discussion, whatever the hell you want to call it. My name is Adam, I'm also known as Drowned Snow on the forums. I'll be your host for the evening, and I'm joined by Paul.
Hey guys, small Paul, Sir General on the forums.
Katie.
This is Katie, Lady Griffin on the forums.
Matt.
Varley on the forums.
And
hey, it's Brett, White Raven on the forums.
All right, and we might have a couple surprise guests popping in. We just watched the episode, just finished airing. None of us partook in the leaks for any of this episode or future episodes, whatever's floating out there. We all kind of managed to stay unspoiled for the spoils of war. Yeah, so I guess that was the big news this week. HBO has been hacked. Tons of internal documents and whatnot have leaked, and then I think it was Friday night or Saturday, then a separate leak, I guess the episode leaked on a streaming service in Asia or something, and then it was online and everybody was watching it. So yeah, it's been an interesting week. I don't know if we'll have kind of the same thing going next week or not, but yeah. So what did you guys think of the episode? We'll start with Matt.
I thought it was the fucking best thing ever. I'm still smiling, and I smiled all through the episode, and it was just, I did not expect a battle at the end. Everything that just seemed like, even like the Arya Brienne thing that could have been like superfluous, like just like we didn't need to see that. It was awesome seeing it. Like, I was just like laughing and smiling during the whole episode, and it was great. Mm-hmm.
No, Bran. So, five out of five for you then, Matt?
Yeah, yeah, give a goddamn five. Number.
God damn it, shut up. I'll give them all the lemon cakes. All your lemon cakes, I give to them.
Okay. Katie?
I'll give it a 4.5 this week.
Katie,
I know. I thought it was a lot of fun. I really loved it. The one point that the half point that I'm taking off though is for the cave scene with Johnny and Danny.
I knew it's you were going to hit that.
John and Danny. It was so goofy, and I can't decide if it was goofy in a way where I'm like loving it or if it was just really dumb. The little scratchings on the wall of the White Walkers, I'm like, John could have made those.
Right? I was like, they don't have the deleted scene where the Night's Watch carved those in there themselves.
do you see the caves? Look, there's small people and there's big people and there's scary people.
He'd just be like, Davos, carve fast. He's like, I can't. I got no fucking fingertips.
She's not going to come down here. It's okay. She's not going to come down here until you bring her. Yeah, she might.
Yeah. It was a little silly the way Danny is holding the torch and looking awe-inspired. I'm like, okay, I know it's pretty, but it's just a bunch of rocks. Like,
well, yeah, and they did kind of a good pivot there, which we'll talk about when we get to it. And D&D were kind of golden after the show talking about that scene. And I can't wait to get to that. But let's move on, Paul.
5 out of 5. Fucking loved every second of it. Even like, I'd say like the weakest part for me was the scene with Littlefinger and Bran at the beginning, but I still like enjoyed the heck out of that too. So, yep, 5 out of 5 for me. I don't know if I'm gonna have any nitpicks. It might just be me sucking D&D's dick. I have no idea at this point.
Wow, good. That'll be interesting.
It's dicks plural, actually.
Brett.
Is it?
You think they share a dick?
Seems like they have to share everything.
Jesus.
Brett, what did you think?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, Adam. I'd give it a 4.5 only because Littlefinger is so terrible and I don't know what to say about him. But other than that, best episode is awesome. 4.5 out of 5.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to give it like at least a 5 out of 5, maybe. Who knows? Maybe higher. Just like, I don't know. Like the stuff that we're going to talk about and we're going to bitch about was like totally nitpicks, and it really doesn't matter. Like, it's just stupid stuff that's like fun to kind of make fun of. But the whole episode was great. Like, I mean, like Matt said, start to finish, I was smiling most of the time. We got a lot of stuff we've been looking forward to, a lot of stuff we weren't expecting. I mean, this was just a really, really solid episode. And right in the middle of the season, we don't really get such big action pieces right in the middle of the season like this. So, you know, they didn't do the CGI on Ghost, you know, arriving at Dragonstone, because they're like, man, we got to put it into this scene. So, you know, as much as it was basically, you know, like reminiscent of The Hobbit at the part there. But like, whatever, it's fine. And let's just get right into it. So the episode opens up with Littlefinger. Before the episode, they show like all the past clips, and one thing I noticed was they mentioned the dagger and talking about how he lost it to Tyrion, yada yada yada. So we knew that was going to come up, and right away we cut to where we left off at the end of last episode. The gold train, the gold train's running on through Westeros, in the plains of Westeros. We got Bronn talking about how he really wants a castle, and like, hey, I'll just take Highgarden. And Jaime's like, that money's for the Iron Bank, all of it, I guess. But I don't really see what that
except
has to do
for
with
your purse full.
Yeah, which, yeah, you know, as we've learned, is not that much. But, you know, he's, I don't know, he's so set on a castle, and I kind of get it. Like, give him a keep or something cool. You know, there's going to be a lot of lords that are gone, but
he had one before you left on adventures, and now he doesn't.
Yeah, and then it got taken away. But right now, like they don't.
That garbage down in Dorne.
I'd rather have a chest full of gold right now, and like somewhere to put it, and the ability to cut out, than a castle that might get taken away in a month. I mean, it's a good point. So,
did anybody else see the Bolton banners?
No, that's the striding huntsman of Tarly.
I thought I saw the upside-down flayed man.
No, they look very similar. It's like a red
just
man.
An upside-down striding huntsman.
No, yeah, they use the same ones. They just
they put it on the wrong way.
Okay, well, so I was like, the Boltons are still with these fucking people?
No, you know, I mean, it's conceivable they left, like, a few guys, but they probably had a cut tail.
Okay, props department, we need to save some money. What do you have that we can reuse? Well,
speaking of the props department saving money, I did see an article earlier that the Night's Watch cloaks were just IKEA rugs, and they just, like, distressed the fuck out of them. which, I'm like, it perfectly makes sense now. But yeah, so we get more the Tarleys, and we kind of get a little bit of the, you know, the sad part of the battle and all that. But it's great because we get more of the, like, what is it, like the Rickon Dickon bit. Like, they won't let that go. So
we get Jaime telling Bronn to go rough up some peasants so that they'll starve to death when winter comes.
Yep.
And did you see, like, Tarly's kind of hesitation? It's like, well, these are kind of my people. Like,
yeah, that doesn't make much sense, does it? That Jaime is saying, go strangle your own peasants. I mean, technically, I guess this isn't Tarly's land. This is still Tyrell land. So I guess it doesn't matter, but you would assume that Tarly is going to get some portion of the grain come winter, maybe.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I thought that maybe they promised them Highgarden.
I was going to say, how do you think they'd feel? But they'd feel if Bronn got Highgarden, he's like, over my dead fucking body.
Yeah,
the Tarleys, I guess, are someone that at least they're from the area and they're nobles and shit. I don't know. They don't seem to care about that sword at all. Like, it's never coming up, guys. It's never coming up.
Yeah.
He's like, this is my most prized possession. There's no way you can have it, Sam. Sam just like, I'm stealing it. And we're now months later, and he's just like, whatever. I think it's like decoration.
Definitely just be like respect.
Like,
Sam.
You know what? If they had Sam like go and like grab like another similar looking sword and just like swap it out, I'd be like, okay, he doesn't use it. He didn't notice. But
Sam just grabbed the wrong one.
Yes,
they all look the same to me. I don't know.
They're gonna try to use it. And it's gonna break.
Classic.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's funny. Like, they made such a big deal of it, and they just dropped it, right? I wonder if they thought they were going to do something with that. You know, they were going to have him, like, track him down in Old Town, and then they just kind of didn't have time, maybe?
They Sam's still bringing that shit to the wall to fight with it.
He only has to go to Dragonstone. I mean, you know, John's pretty close, right? So
I mean, everyone's close. I don't, you know, the timelines don't fucking make sense at all, so... He could be Whatever. Close. I don't know.
Yeah, not that it matters, because again, it works for the narrative. But I guess like it took them a while to figure out that the Greyjoy fleet had been fucked over. But like the Highgarden thing, they got right away and like landed their ships and flew a dragon right away. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter.
So, what did Tarly tell Jaime? That men that are hungry will not be like if we. Say like no rations to the last people that come, like the wagon train will hurry up. Like I missed that part.
No. He's saying to beat him.
Yeah, he's beating stragglers. Sometimes like make things faster.
Anyway, yeah. So we go immediately from this and the discussion of castles and all the gold to Cersei talking with Tycho about said gold. I don't know. This was kind of a boring scene, but it was whatever. What do you think?
I mean, he basically was like, yes, everything is possible once we get the gold.
Right. Like, I thought they were kind of heavy-handed on that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means they're not going to get the gold or not, because they said in the other scene that all the gold got through, but they were just getting the food in. Really?
Yeah, well, or it. I don't think it got
right at the beginning of that King's scene.
Landing, though.
No, I thought they said the gold was already in.
No, they said the gold is on its way.
Yeah, like the gold was like ahead of them a little bit.
No, I thought the gold was already there.
I think the idea was that like they sent the gold ahead with like a more like a more agile force to kind of just rush it up the road before anything could happen. Maybe I don't know, yeah. But at the same time, it's like yeah, he's like, oh, we're gonna miss your interest payments. I'm like, was she making those? Didn't she cancel the interest payments? I seem to remember that being a thing, but maybe I'm confused because I didn't rewatch that season. So
maybe he was just being funny. He's like, yeah, I missed those interest payments of $0.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm going to hang around here for a while. I like it here. Like, I'm not going anywhere is the vibe I'm getting. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just wants to, you know, he's just going to hang around and whoever is actually sitting on the throne, he's just going to be like, gold, you owe me gold, you know?
No, I think that he's going to hear this and turn completely on, like, turn everything on its head, be like, we're reneging all response or like support for you. Like, not only that, but you'll find that we've hired a faceless man and, you know, like somehow
and it's me
or something. Yeah. Like, Mycroft is not long for this world because he's going to make an aggressive move against Cersei. And of course she's going to take like awful revenge on him.
And the mountain's going to eat him.
Oh my
God. Or maybe Illyria San will eat him. I mean, they got to feed her somewhere.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I think we've exhausted ourselves.
I think if Cersei
here.
Was going to feed her, it'd be her daughter a little bit at a time.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Littlefinger, he's in the next scene and he gives Bran that Valyrian steel dagger that he's just been hanging on to for quite a while.
Because it was his.
Because it's. No, bro. But, like, you know.
It's pretty neat.
It was mine, but I totally. Lost it to Tyrion, and
is that the
I thought
show
you might
canon?
Want the thing that tried to kill you. That's what the he show, said.
The show canon, I don't remember, because in the book, it's Joffrey's dagger, isn't it? And in the show, I guess it's always been Littlefinger's dagger.
Well, no, in the book, it was they just thought Robert. It might be Joffrey. It was never
well,
it was
in
Robert's
the book,
dagger.
it's never fully stated, but it's heavily implied, I think, by Cersei and others that, yeah, that was one of Robert's daggers. And, like, Joffrey just went and got it and, like, hired someone to do it. On the show, they imply that Cersei is the one who hired the assassin.
Right, with the, like, it must have been somebody pretty rich.
Right, but it was still...
Who's left?
I don't think Cersei. They ever... I don't remember if they ever said anything about the ownership of the dagger not being Littlefinger's, but they definitely did reveal that, yeah, he didn't lose that to Tyrion. Like, that's bullshit. Mm.
It is hilarious that Littlefinger is so bored that he just keeps going around the castle sucking up to the Stark children. Like, I'm your cool new uncle.
Again, like, they've turned him into, like, someone please side with me. And he just keeps going around like, aren't I so clever? Here's a knife.
He looks so tired.
What the hell, dude? Like, he's like, I love how he's trying so hard. Like, he's such a tryhard. He's like, yo, Lord Stark. Hey, Lord Stark.
Every time, like, here's this dagger. Every time he tries to suck up to one of the Starks and they just rebuff him, we just need a wah wah over the soundtrack.
I mean, it's so crazy what's like what he's become, but you know, his men are there kind of either way, I think. So if something were to happen to him, it's kind of been established enough. Like, there could be attack or attack by like the others or something, and they all realize, like, screw him, because they're technically there because Robin Aaron said, like, go help Sansa.
Where is he even alive? Yeah. We haven't seen him like 2 seasons.
Yeah, we saw. No, it was early.
He's still at Runestone,
last
isn't he?
Season, and yeah, he did the little thing where like he officially gave the word or whatever. But you know, obviously, it was Littlefinger pulling all the strings.
Obviously.
What does chaos is a ladder mean?
That is something.
That's
that,
something that he said.
Yeah.
That's what Bran said.
Littlefinger's speech that he gave to Varys. I don't even know what season it was.
Season 3 when we lost Ross.
Yeah, it was over the scene where Ross gets shot up by Joffrey, but it's always been a really dumb speech because that metaphor can be anything. You know, I think I even said that on that VOK episode we did. Chaos is a pencil sharpener. Chaos is a stapler. it could be anything.
The whole point is that you know Littlefinger said it, so that you're like, oh, okay. And Littlefinger's like, how the fuck do you, like,
of course, you know what I mean? Knew. I was testing you guys. Yeah.
Great work.
Littlefinger's like, how do you know I say this? And Bran should have been like, because you repeat it to fucking everybody.
Yeah, so after this horrible, horrible, awkward attempt to win over Bran and not really understanding what the hell's going on, Mira shows up and says, like, I gotta go home. I don't want to leave you. I think she's wanting him to say, like, I'll come with you or stay or something. And he's just like, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, it's best that you do. It's like an awkward, like,
it's probably you've done your
one-night stand. It's like,
And she brings up,
bye, buddy,
for the first time, like, oh, my brother died for you. I'm like, she didn't seem as broken up with it over that in the past, I guess. But now all of a sudden, like, Jojen exploding, like, we're like, what? We're gonna remember that.
This
sure.
Poor character. Right?
Yeah.
She deserved better, but there's nothing else for her to do, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I hope she... I mean, is she going to show up again, you think, or is she just gone?
No, I think she's gone.
You don't think we're going to get the reads in any way?
No. Well, no. That's extraneous at this point.
She'll show up to weep over Bran's dead body.
But after they kill off half the characters this season, next year maybe they'll bring them in for support, maybe.
Don't you figure the reeds need to defend the North from, like, Cersei's attack that somehow she'll be able to mount... I don't know.
Everyone needs to show up.
Does she even have any troops left?
So at least her armies would be going the right way.
Like, why exactly do you want to be home when they arrive? Like, I guess you don't know where they're going to show up, but once you know where they are, I would assume everyone's going to go there. Like, everyone's going to abandon their castles and try to fight these people, right? Instead of just, like, letting them take castles one at a time.
I think
the White Walkers or the Dothraki or what? Who are we talking about?
No, like the Night King and everything. Like, she's saying she wants to be home when, like, the Army of the Dead arrives. And I'm like, well, if they've gotten all the way to you, like, you've already lost.
she's like, we're in the bog. They can't get to us. Like,
yeah, our castle will freeze over. Like, it's never in the same place. So I think we're okay.
They can't stand mosquitoes.
The whole point of the Reed, supposedly, I mean, I guess from a narrative function in the book, is that Helen Reed is supposedly this keeper of knowledge that eventually the story is going to require to exposit. But there is no point to the Reeds in the show beyond dragging Bran around the North. And so now that that's over,
yeah,
there's really no reason for her to come back.
Now that Bran is here to give that information. So
Yeah.
Okay. So next we get,
well,
Arya.
I also think it's interesting that Bran, like, can't remember, kind of like Beric. Like, it's almost like his brain can only hold so many memories, and he's, like, pushing off old Bran memories.
Is it that he can't remember, or that he remembers too much? Like, he, like, remembers so much that he can't remember, like, how to be a fucking human anymore, is what they're trying to tell us, right?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, he's got, like, one of those, like, manic minds going on, but they've lit him up with so much Thorazine.
He's like, I would be sad about Jojen, but, like, I've watched, like, 500,000 deaths, like, you know? and so I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah. He's watching the dragon scene at the end of the episode, like while he's talking, he's like, dude. Like, Jotun is...
Why are you all panicking? This is going to be fine. I can see the dragons. They're going to save us.
It makes it seem like, like tapping into the Werenet is like getting in contact with a greater all soul. Like all the werewoods are kind of part of one giant organism. So maybe, you know, being part of this greater creature makes you individually very insignificant or dilutes your boundaries to that greater creature in some way. I mean, I think that's giving, like, I don't think the lore of the werewoods has been developed very much in the show, but if I had to guess, I think that's what they're kind of aiming at, is that he's become assimilated to something greater, and Bran as a person doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, and I think I'm getting a little better with this, like, I don't know, because this whole change seemed really sudden, and we were like, why wasn't Bloodraven acting so much like this? But he had kind of years to adjust. And I guess I see what they're doing now. It just, I feel like some of the groundwork maybe could have been laid a little better, but like I'll dive in here. It's fine.
When he says chaos is a ladder, that's like a cool, like little like thing of his powers. But it seems like every scene is just like, dude, show us something. Like, you're just like, people are trying to act off of you. Like, oh, it's great to see you again. We love you. We're all like brother and sister. And he's just like, yeah.
He's like, I saw that shit you took earlier. There was corn in it.
He left his heart in the frozen north. It's gone now. He doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. Anyway. So yeah. Anyway, we'll come back to Bran in a little bit. Right now, we get Arya, and she's on the cusp of Winterfell, and we see it off in the distance. And I mean, this whole sequence I really loved because, you know, she's finally home. The guards are fucking assholes. Like, whatever. I mean,
was anyone concerned she might kill them?
Yes. I was like, we get peaceful Arya. Fantastic.
I thought she was just like, well, I'm getting into here. I'm going to stab your throats and then people will recognize me and it's okay. You know?
I was worried she was going to leave. Like, she looks around. She's like, oh, I don't belong here anymore. And then she cuts and runs. Yeah,
exactly. I thought once she was kind of sitting around and everything was different, and I think they say in after the episode that it's like, you know, Odysseus coming home and no one recognizes him. And I thought maybe she was just going to be like, oh, you know what? I need to go kill Cersei. Yeah. But I mean, these guys are kind of dicks. My question is, like, why are they stopping a little girl from coming in to the castle? Like, if the gates open, you would think it's for people to go in and out doing business. If they don't want anyone coming in, the gate would be fucking closed. So why are they giving her such a hard time?
She's not a little girl, though.
Well, I mean, but she's, yeah. She could just be. She could be working in the, like, she could be having a task to do, right?
She has a sword.
For like such shitty guards, like, and Sansa fully expects that everyone will retreat to Winterfell. They're gonna be like sitting out there. The queue's gonna be like huge, like down to the Winter Town, like as they check IDs, and they're like, "All right,
hey, this is a fake. You're not from the north.
Yeah.
Please take off your shoes. All your metal objects need to go through the detector.
No blades, no bows. Leave your weapons here."
Fucking Westerosi TSA.
How many ounces is that?
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. It was kind of a funny little scene, and we get to see her talking about, you know, how badass she is. Sansa immediately knows, like, well, if it's Arya, she's down in the crypts. And this whole sequence is great because we get the mention of the list, and like Sansa clearly thinks it's a joke, and she's like, oh, this is so funny. And then for some reason, the Freys don't come up. She doesn't mention, like, oh, all the Freys are dead, by the way, which, I mean, I guess that's maybe a little heavy to just drop on her, especially, you know, saying I'm the one that did it. But then in the next scene, we run into Bran, and he's like, oh, yeah. So that list, you've been checking off names. And the look on Sansa's face is just priceless.
So, these two kind of scenes back to back with Bran and Arya and Sansa, and it comes back up in the next scene with Sansa. It's like is she realizing that she's like the only Stark that hasn't leveled up to supernatural power?
Kind of. Like, she's not the king. She doesn't have. She's not a badass like fighter. She's not creepy magic.
I think she has a different type of power, though. Like,
yeah,
she has a power that Arya could never have, like just her diplomatic ability. I know she hasn't showed it off much, but it's there because everybody listens to her. And yeah, but I think that, they're trying like to set that
like,
up.
But that's like being like, you know, Lex Luthor and being like super smart versus Superman. It's like, well, he could do all this shit, but like I could do stuff with like, I could think about it, you know? Like, but everyone's like, oh, look, he can fly. He's like, obviously, he got the better powers. Like, I think they're just more visible. Like, Bran just spouting nonsense and and Neo-style Matrix fighting.
Are we talking about the look of slight dismay that Sansa gives when she's watching Arya fight? Is that what we're talking about? If I had to read into that, I guess my thought is that Sansa seems constantly very legitimately worried that she is going to become powerless or dependent on other people. And I think there's a slight dismay mm-hmm. that her younger siblings very obviously don't need her in a way that she might need them. I mean, if I had to read into it, sometimes I can't quite parse out what Sophie Turner's face is supposed to be doing. she could be, I mean, that could be what she is, or she could just be impressed. Like, holy shit, my little sister is a killer now. But yeah, I think there is a slight, putting that together with that knowing look smirk that Littlefinger gives her, I think she is once again put out by the fact that she is not needed.
He'll need her to wheel around in his chair.
when he encounters a set of stairs.
To me, Sansa.
I think he does need her because she's the one that controls all the troops. They're not going to listen to Bran. They're not going to listen
until
to
Jon. I mean, she's only in charge until Jon gets back.
But she's still, I mean, if she Jon is the back. Lady of Winterfell, right? Like, I mean, like she's Jon's like, you're my heir even at this point. I feel like that's what was said like at the end of the season or early in this season. That was kind of implied. Like, if anything happens to me, you're next.
But now Bran is back, and that's in jeopardy because
right. I think Bran wants it or everyone not, probably thinks the same thing. Everyone probably thinks that like, oh well, Bran is the next Stark, but Bran is very clearly like, nope.
So you even talk to that guy? He's fucking weird.
Yeah, I mean, but it does. It puts her in a place where it's like, if when Jon comes back, all this power she has goes away. She can be overruled. Bran, because he's a male, his claim takes precedent over hers. Arya right. doesn't need protection. She can do whatever she wants. She's capable. She's physically, you know, able to fight and defend herself. Sansa doesn't have any of that. So I think when she's reminded of that, that's what Littlefinger's knowing smirk is like, you got to do something about this. Like, you need to get a foothold that can't be taken away from you.
You're right. But like, I think it, like, especially in this episode, it just, and last episode where he's like, no, I'm a three-eyed raven. So like, he pretty much like, I don't know, denounced his claim to Winterfell. Like, whatever other people might be.
Twice,
like,
too. I mean, he does it to Littlefinger. Like,
she should be like, Bran, I think you should go up and take the black because you pretty much are giving this up anyway.
Yeah, like, why don't you just stay at Castle Black? But he hasn't, like, he hasn't really explained what's been up with him or his, like, he's just sort of been quietly like, I know things and I've been places. And it's like, okay.
Also, the two guards completely incompetent in this episode, and like the two guards that let Bran in last episode, like totally chill, like be like, oh dude, you say you're Bran? Oh, we'll get Lady Sansa, like she'll want to really see you. But these guys are like, yeah, right, Arya Stark, all right, go fuck yourself.
Well, how many other cripples are there in the north?
I did like, going back a little bit, I do like the Sansa Arya reunion wasn't just a retread of the Bran Sansa reunion where they, you know, run up and embrace and it's, the music swells. It was more, we're reminded
Bran
that,
didn't run.
Well, okay. You know what I mean. But we're reminded that they didn't really get along ever to begin with. Right. And so, like, there is a relief and a love there, but there's also like
an awkwardness.
There's that moment of pause that Sansa kind of like, you know, Arya sitting there waiting to see what she does, and Sansa takes a second to I think that was very subtle.
If Jon was here, his heart would stop. Oh Jesus, it's not even beating. What are you talking about?
I know.
What? Oh my goodness.
I like how they call out that the statue doesn't look anything like Jon Bean.
It's such an ugly statue.
Well, they didn't have license for his likeness after season one.
Sansa does look very grown up, though. Like, yeah. She just looks so grown up in this episode. I mean, she has all season. But
In some ways, hasn't she kind of become what she always wanted, like, before the series started? She wanted to become, like, the lady. And I mean, that's what she is. But now, queen, man. Now she's, you know, the kind of like the lady of her home.
Who the fuck is
now? She realizes, like, well, maybe that's not the best. Maybe there's more that I could be, and maybe she, you know, I don't know.
No way is this what she dreamed of. She dreamed of having like the perfect knight for a husband and all that, or perfect lord, or whatever.
Well, yeah.
This is obviously not what she dreamed of. A creepy guy. Dude, just hanging over
Tyrion and Ramsay.
A creepy guy that's like three times her age. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, when she had this dream, she was also 12. So. You know,
well, that's my point, is that like she's gotten older and realized, like, oh, there's kind of more to life.
It didn't match what was on the box. Got it.
Yeah. All right. Like, Maisie Williams is one of those unfortunate faces where she's always going to look 12 years old, no matter how old she is. I sympathize. I have a face like that where people still mistake my age for being like 13 and I'm 28. So I feel a little bad. Like Maisie Williams is adorable, but she's also, I think she's going to be adorable for the rest of her life, and that's unfortunate.
But hold on to that feeling.
One of those actresses that plays a high schooler, like at 35.
Yeah, but then you start like getting old, like Elijah Wood, and you still kind of look young in places, but you're looking old, so you kind of just look creepy.
Yeah, Elijah,
is that the way it's going?
Jeez, what are you saying, Brett?
Elijah Wood, he looks the same as he always has. He hasn't changed at all, like, facially. He has more hair now than he did.
More and less.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the main takeaway here, anyway, is that Arya gets that sweet Valyrian dagger, because Bran's like, I don't need this shit, I can't walk. and then we move on to the scene of the night, sort of.
This dagger better have a payoff, and it's not just like we're trying to sell this dagger, guys.
Well, I guess like she can kill others with it, right?
Kill Littlefinger if.
Yeah, I think she's gonna kill Littlefinger.
I really hope so. I hope Littlefinger is on her list or something now. Yeah,
Bran's gonna be like, "Hey, I gotta tell you, something. Can't say it in front."
Because Bran should know. Did Bran say something about a letter or I don't know?
No, that was a ladder. That was a ladder.
Right. I'm like in my cups a little bit. So we get Dany and Missandei walking along, and like suddenly, sad Jon Snow down to the left. And he's just like looking at them like a puppy dog, like, what's going on? And like there's eyes, and she's got eyes, and you're like, what the hell are they doing right now? And he's like, I want to show you this dragon glass, m'lady. And then so we walk to this cave. Without really any escort, she just walks kind of by herself down there, where Jon Snow could just fucking murder her in the dark. and we get all the fucking dragon glass. I mean, I don't know. This could be our stone dragon, whatever. I don't really care. And we get our pictographs on the wall with, look, man, look at these swirly pictographs. And then small people with tall people and... scary people.
They're not regular kids.
It's crazy because... basically, we talk about how Dragonstone is this place of alliance, and long before, you know, the Targaryens ever showed up, the First Men and the Children were there. That's super cool, and you're like, oh, great. And Dany's like, I will fight for your people in the North. And, like, she seems moved, and then a second later, she's like, when you bend the fucking knee, which is maybe, like, the best part of the episode.
And I actually thought Jon was going to, like... I thought Jon was actually going to bend the knee right there. Like, I thought he was going to do it.
He's like, well, I kind of, you know, he's going to bend the knee and give her the Lord's kiss.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, last time I was in the cave with a girl, I bent the knee.
So, because they're very clearly making eyes at each other, and you're like, where the fuck is this coming from? I guess because we knew they were maybe going to do this.
Well,
but like
Dany
at the end of
the
episode, like, afterwards, D&D are like, it's nothing we wrote, but it's just like, you can see it. And I'm like, yeah, it's definitely nothing you wrote, guys. Like...
I think
Dany
was in the mood after talking to Missandei about her sex with Grey Worm.
But they also talk about the cave, and they're like spiral patterns, and they're just like really significant all over the world. So
they made canon
Westeros
out of
too.
This.
I'm like, wait, what? At least they were like, when George told us the spiral patterns, they're just like, spiral patterns?
Oh, we God, see that's them right. Everywhere. That's true. That's in the show when they find the spirals of bodies up north. Yeah.
I forgot about that's not in the books. They like made it into canon for no reason.
Yeah.
It's just a visual touchstone of, oh yeah, remember this is a White Walker thing. They're all about
building spirals. But it was just funny the way they talked about it. So this was a cool scene, but then Danny demands bend the knee, and then she gets news of what the fuck, Highgarden's fell too, and she's like, John, you don't go anywhere, because now I kind of need you, maybe, and she's like, Tyrion, you suck, John, what should I do? Like, she's a little fickle right there.
I was getting so frustrated here, I was like, oh great, they're going to put off using dragons again for another episode to save their CGI budget. I may have been incorrect.
Well, we saw like the next time on where, you know, you see the picture of her flying around, and so you kind of assume, you know, or her like on Drogon in like a fire. So I just assumed she was going to show up and burn shit by herself. But anyway, so I guess John, you know, kind of gives her advice without giving her like really any advice.
Says, don't kill the don't kill civilians. That I guess is
yeah. Don't kill them directly. Destroy all their food.
Just starve them out. But don't burn them with animals, nuclear dinosaurs.
There's a good point to be made that, like, well, your enemies just took Highgarden and they're marching home. So now here's a point where you can, you know, face them on the field without having to, like, burn castles and villages. And now we've got, like, the dragons flying over. That's a whole other bit. But
John's like, the people in the north won't allow me to bend the knees. Like, they don't give a shit who the fuck they serve as long as they don't get killed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the people in the north were fine with Bolton ruling the north, huh?
Yeah, and I think she made a great point, because he's like, look, my people, they won't trust anyone from the south. This is terrible. And she's kind of not from the south. Like, she's sort of a foreigner who has dragons, and dragons are pretty compelling. But she does make a good point of, like, you're in charge. Like, if you lead and give them an example to follow, and it's compelling enough, you give them the reasons, like, they'll fall in line.
Yeah, he's made his point that, like, survival is what matters, and if that's
so
true,
do it.
Yeah, then it shouldn't matter who's in charge, just bend the frickin' knee.
Well, no, he still has a good point from the previous episodes that, like, I can't bend the knee, and then you're gonna tell me to take my men south to help you. Like, that's his main point, is, like, I can't follow your orders right now. Like, I don't think he really cares so much about bending the knee. I mean, he can convince the northern men. Like, after the war is over, he'll fucking give her the sword and he'll, like, leave the country if he has to. I don't think he cares. But right now, you know, she's still focused on the wrong things to him. Mm-hmm. So,
but, I mean, all this is leading up to them getting married to...
Or at least creating a bastard. And, at least.
And did anyone else think that they were holding hands when they left the cave?
Because
I saw it like...
And skipping.
Yeah. Well, as one does after one gives and receives the Lord's kiss.
So because are they going to spend a lot of time on Dragonstone before getting home and Jon finding out that he's a Targaryen? I mean, like, if they're doing a romance thing where these guys have to hook up, it's got to be without that knowledge.
I would like if Danny came back and John was just gone with one of her dragons. He's pissed out. It's like it seemed to like me. Had to go.
I guess my question, and this is my question in the books as well, is who cares if John is a Targaryen? What impact on anything does that have other than a curio of information?
Well, if he could ride a dragon. That's kind of, I think, the part where it matters. Like, the whole, like, who has a claim? And, like, Danny might be like, oh, we're related, and might treat him a little differently. But other than that, like, it's just someone riding a dragon.
He'll instantly become more attractive to her.
Yeah. My brother told me my whole life how we were supposed to get married.
But laws of succession would still favor Aegon over Jon, because Aegon was born first.
Aegon doesn't exist.
Who's Aegon?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
Yeah, we're talking. We're not talking
in
about
the books. I'm saying,
but even in the books, yeah. But like it, and again, laws of succession. I don't really think are going to come up here and won't matter. But yeah, I think the part that matters is if he's going to be able to control one of these dragons and make them useful. Because especially in the books, like, without a rider, they're not particularly useful. Like, last season, they, like, all of them just flew together and burned the fuck out of those ships and followed Danny.
That seemed pretty useful. That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Well, like, I guess, in the book, they're supposed to have a rider, is all I'm saying. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Like, in the books, it's heavily leaned toward there being, obviously, the three heads of the dragon, Tyrion, Danny, Jon. In the show, like, Tyrion hasn't been suggested at all or hinted at to be a Targaryen, so it's like, I guess there's no third dragon rider? Or this, it's just gonna...
Other than that scene last year where he, like, took the chains off the dragons and they didn't eat him, they were kind of like, okay, whatever.
Was that only last season?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, shit. I know.
Yep. So, I mean, and people at the time were like, see, oh, you know, secret Targaryen. But yeah, they haven't laid any ground for that. And I don't know if they would, but they might just be like, oh, look, he's riding a dragon. Well, that's weird. It works. Like, I'm cool with that. That's fine. You know, he just has to get a saddle made. Alrighty then. So I think we're done with this scene.
Moving on.
Let's take a raven up back to Winterfell, and we'll get the scene that you referenced earlier. With Pod and Brain, you know, doing their shit. And Arya walks in and wants to train.
God knows why. Man. She's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
and also,
like, oh, it's
Pod
been so
sucks.
Long since I've trained. Like, is she thinking, like, it's been so long since I've trained at arms, like Sirio, really, like, properly, you know, training? Because she's gotten a lot better since then.
Yeah, who trained you? No one. Nice.
Yeah, that was nice. And then, like, I like how Brain's like, that sword's way too small. It's okay. It won't hurt you. Like, it's so great.
I won't cut you. It's fine.
I still feel like that sword would have bent with some of the blows she was, like, trying to parry there.
Yeah, but I gotta agree. How long has Pod been Brienne's squire?
Not long enough, apparently. She's a shitty teacher. That's what we know. She just beats on him every episode.
He's just covered in bruises that Tormund won.
Like, she's, like, way stronger than him, too.
She's like, put your sword in the way. He's like, tell me how to do this.
Did you see that look he kind of gave her? Like, kind of like midsection to head? Like, he was like,
What?
Which, who did he give that to?
When they're sitting in, like, Winterfell's court, like, right before the training montage, where they see, like, Arya pushing Bran and Sansa following them, and they go somewhere, and he's like, Lady Stark would be proud, you kept your vow and, like, protected the two girls are here together. And then he, like, looks her up and down and's like,
how you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I missed that part. But yeah, speaking of that, so Arya does mention that, hey, like, you swore to protect and serve both Stark daughters. And, you know, Sansa's conveniently just sitting there watching. She likes to watch them train for some reason.
There's nothing else to do.
She's just like, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, they didn't have TV or internet. It's like,
I think she just likes watching, like, a big woman beat up on a man.
She's learning from Littlefinger. You just stand around and creepily watch people do things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she seemed a little, like, kind of like, oh, wait a second. She did say she was, you know, sworn to protect Arya. Shit. You know, now I've only got 50% of this chick.
It was a good scene. I enjoyed this little fight.
Yeah, me too.
It was well choreographed.
Yeah.
Like how they ended up, like, you know, as equals, like, Brienne had the sword, like, going into Arya, and Arya had, like, the dagger going into her, and it's like,
yeah,
they end up,
immediately, like, putting use to that dagger.
I do like the contrast in the styles and the choreography where, you know, Brienne has all the power, but it also takes way too much time and momentum, and Arya is just, you know, dancing all over the place. Like, she doesn't have the force, but she has the speed. It's really cool.
I wish she had said fast as still water, calm as still water, fast as still water.
Swift as a deer.
Fast as still water.
Fast like a glass of water.
I just wish she'd said something that Sirio had said to her, just because it would have been a nice callback.
It was nice when she did her little spiral kick up and went down like a cat, like,
yeah, it was great.
I love when
she can handle larger,
just like her flipping the dagger out was amazing.
She's come a long way since the Hound told her you can't fight.
Well, yes. When the Hound was like, when she was at the Hound, she was still doing cartwheels and shit and wasn't as effective.
But, right.
Yeah. She seems more confident with it, not just her, like the character, but the actress as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I find this scene completely unnecessary. And if it was in a shit episode that we're like, we wanted plot to be moved along and we're like, what did this do? But like,
I was smiling. Awesome.
And I was just like, awesome. Like through this whole scene.
This was frosting on top of the cake.
Yeah. I look forward to next week when she shows the Hound that like he can't fight with her.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be that reunion, I'm sure, soon. And because we only got a few more episodes left. So.
A lot of reunions.
Yeah, yeah, guys, opening sequence, we got the wall. And I was like, oh, about time we fucking saw back up there. It wasn't on the show.
Opening sequence? What?
They're just... Well, yeah, but they also had Old Town. Oh, you mean, and we didn't go back
you
to
mean,
Old Town.
Yeah, yeah, we had Old Town, too. Yeah. So in the credits.
Oh,
so
you mean the credits.
They have to put enough things in that it's like a certain amount of time for the opening, I think, to play the music. So eventually they're all going to be in one place, and it's just going to like go to Essos. Marine, remember this? Like, you're like, why are they showing us this stuff?
Make like, it yeah, build the city time. Really slow.
Let's see, where do we go from here? John and Davos having a chat. About, you know, if it wasn't obvious enough from the weird looks in the cave, like, John's kind of got a thing for the Dragon Queen.
Yeah, Davos had to let us know.
And then
yeah, because
like,
I certainly couldn't tell from Kit Harington's acting. Like,
it was like one of those awkward, like, SNL videos or something. It's like two people staring at each other, like,
that's how he's doing.
Eyebrows
the
going up and down wildly.
Yeah, I guess love, whatever.
It's so weird. He has the same love for Davos, from what I can tell. They both he looks at them both the same.
He's in the same looks. Yeah, well, maybe it was more Danny's looks. I don't know.
You know when he talked to Tyrion earlier, he wanted to fuck him. I could tell. He was looking right at him.
Yeah. Your erection was visible. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So. And then he talks about, like, oh, speaking of hotties, here's Missandei. And then they have this interesting talk about, like, are you free? Could you leave if you wanted to? So this is probably, you know, meant to set something up, but it does seem a little out of the blue.
Also, I love Stannis, but cut his fucking head off. He was just about to trade, like, to the other side. Like, a bit, isn't that treason?
You mean Davos? Like,
Davos, yeah. That's
right. Yep,
Stannis Davos. Already got his head cut off.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was a nice, like if John was, I don't know if the showrunners meant this, but it was like kind of a throwback to Mace when she's like, we follow her because we think she's the right queen. Kind of like above the wall, you know, he like got everybody together because they wanted to follow him.
And which is
or
why
Mace
was
Mance Rayder.
Following.
Oh, yeah. That's about,
yeah, you know, really like he was following Puffy and Mace. Back
yeah,
in the
Mace
90s.
Tyrell. Yeah.
No, so Mance. Like.
But yeah, I felt like this scene was. I mean, I thought it was a pretty good scene for establishing, like, or at least showing to like Davos and Jon that these aren't just like servants and slaves and crazy Dothraki she's brought over. These are people who like believe in her. Like the Dothraki kind of, it's almost like the Dothraki are kind of her cult because they saw her like burn alive all their leaders and then she has a dragon.
And walk through fire.
Yeah, and then for like the Unsullied and the Missandei, like she granted them their freedom and she's like, you don't have to follow me. But then they're like, but we do want to follow you because we
you
kind of fucking
paycheck.
Owe you. We owe you, yeah. And what else are we going to do, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I think Dany's case is pretty compelling and what she's done is, you know, pretty significant. But also, you know, for people that didn't see it and that don't really understand, it's a, I guess it's a valid question. Like,
but I mean, it still comes down to the same, like, Dany argument where it's like, she wants everyone to be free and wants no slaves, but as long as she's the ruler.
But bend right. The goddamn knee.
Yeah, fucking bend the knee.
And that kind of reminds me of like Renly, where he's like, I don't care what you do, but I'm your king.
Right. Where he's like, he could call himself the king of the north. I don't care about titles. I just care about loyalty.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you send me cash. Like, I just need lots of cash. The realm is bankrupt. Robert was an idiot. Oh, man. Okay. So, and then we cut to Theon. Like, is that a lone Greyjoy ship that survived the Greyjoy fleet? The only one, apparently?
And no one seemed alarmed. Like, they weren't like, is that a red eye? Does it have not a red eye? Like,
well, it did look kind of beat up, and I don't know. It's one ship. So,
yeah, who cares?
Whatever. Yeah. So we do get this moment. For a second, like, when so Theon washes up and there's Jon there, and I'm like, I kind of thought it was Rob for a second. I was like, oh, Rob's going to give him shit because they were best boys. And I'm like, no, that's not Rob. he's... I mean, like, you
he's
know,
long dead, friend.
Yeah, they knew each other well enough, and it's kind of the same. But I guess I was kind of like wanting to have that moment where Rob's like, "What the fuck, Theon?" And then it made me sad. So yeah, he decides not to kill Theon because, well, he doesn't really have any weapons, and he's surrounded by Dothraki. But also, you know, because he helps Sansa out.
So. I feel like he should have just killed Theon right here and saved the money they would have paid Alfie Allen to have Ghost come around for an episode.
Yeah, we can invest it in something else.
Fuck Theon. Yeah. What's the point of him?
The point was for him to ask for Dany and then to be told she's not here. Dun 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 dun.
Oh, right. And then the episode ended. Right.
Well, what's going on now? Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Wyoming.
Next week, what's going to happen? Oh wait, yeah, there was one more scene. So we get the.
It's more a collection of scenes, but like.
Yeah, this whole. We're all in one location, I guess. So it's all one big thing here with the Lannister train keeps on a rolling. You know, Rickon, Dickon.
Bronn is so good.
Bronn is the best, man. This whole thing, like, some of this was just ridiculous, and I was like, whatever, but I still loved it. I absolutely loved it. So.
Yeah, like when the horses are running through the fire, I'm like,
yeah, and then
not
like at
that.
One point, like this, like so, okay, let's just go through it and we'll get to it. So
she's like, have the horses drink my blood and they'll be immune to fire.
Like I almost expected, you know, like for some reason, Jamie's the only one that hears the horde coming, and so I was like, oh,
not why
Jamie,
didn't he just no, like, Bronn. Bronn was.
Yeah. But Jamie like rallies everybody is what it was.
Yeah. And, Jamie like, no has heightened senses because he's missing a hand.
Yeah, that's right. It's he can feel things with his other hand from far away. But yeah, so they he's calling to make the you know the spear wall and all this shit, and I thought like, oh well, like it's just Dany with her dragon. Like how can he hear that from so far away? I didn't really think for a second that we were going to get this giant battle, and all of a sudden, all of these horses come charging.
And Danny's so trolling them because there's no reason you should see the horses before the fucking dragon.
She was just sitting there on the ground, like, go, I'll wait.
I'll wait in this cloud. You guys go.
This scene like starts, and then they're like, wait a minute, you know what the fuck's that sound? I remember looking at my cell phone. It was 9:38. I'm like, holy shit, we're getting this battle this episode. And then it was like, okay, I'm on board for whatever happens.
He buckled in.
Yeah, just like, let's do this, fuckers. It was so good.
Right. So, so this is where, and before this, I think isn't this where Dickon and is talking about like kind of how sad it was to massacre his friends? and so we see these
it's like it's one
screamers.
Thing to kill them, but they also shit themselves.
Like I used to hunt with those dudes. Like, you know, you can't kill people you hunt with. Like, you know, ask Robert. The hunting bonds run deep.
I found it hilarious just kind of how Jamie was like, how you doing, man? And Dickon's like, I don't know, kind of bummed out. Yeah. I hung out with some of those guys. They're pretty solid.
I was hoping that like he would have been like, I hear you're gonna get Highgarden. Like, I'm not getting it, so
hey buddy. Gonna get Highgarden, that'll make it better, right?
Yeah.
My name will still be Dickon.
Wanna get McDonald's on the way back? Will that make you feel better, Dickon?
So then we get this this crazy Dothraki charge where they're screaming and yelling, and it's just, you know, balls to the walls insanity going on. And then Drogon flies over and it's fucking crazy. And shit starts going down, and this is just great. And we see Tyrion kind of way back in the battle, just kind of sad. It's like he watches all of his people die, and the Dothraki makes a comment that Oh, yeah, your people can't fight worth shit. Like, huh. I mean, you know, it's an army. They're way outnumbered by a giant army of cavalry, so, you know, whatever.
And there's a goddamn dragon ensuing chaos just everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, though, that Tyrion doesn't speak Dothraki, so when, like, the Dothraki just talk to him, he's like, what the fuck is he saying?
Yeah, I did have that moment. I was like, does he know Dothraki?
Yes, dragon, far away.
But you know what? He's had at least a few months to try to learn it on the voyage and all this stuff, so I would hope that he's picked up some of it, and he's better at it than his High Valyrian. Yeah.
Two really awesome things about this whole sequence is that I've said this last season, and I think that it's still true, is that it is a mixture of the sound department and the CGI department that is able to make this dragon just feel heavy when they're flying. Like, not only is this a giant creature, it is a very weighty creature. Like, you can just feel it when it passes overhead. Like, this is a tremendously weighty creature, and that's really hard to do with CGI.
Like and a whale.
Yeah. Well, and
I always felt like they felt like the wing things at the ring wraiths. Like, I remember seeing in the movie theater when he flew over, like, the dead marshes, and, like, the sound was just like, whoom.
Because they're kind of lumbering, even though
Yeah,
the one detail that's not there that I feel like there should be is that there should be way more dust when he beats his wings. Like, it should be, like, you wouldn't be able to see when these things are flying that low to the ground. It would just be a dust storm. But
like the little water thing?
Yeah, that was really cool. And his wing touched the tree. That was really a nice little detail. But the second thing is just, like, how unbelievably hot and powerful Dragonfire is. And that those guys got roasted, and then Jaime looks
like,
over.
Turned to ash.
The wind just blows them away.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so good.
I mean, I don't know anything about, you know, acting or like, what it's like to be on a set. But, like, the idea of setting all these poor extras on fire, you know, must have been a really hard day on the set.
It's a living. Yeah.
Lots of practical effects for that.
Yeah, I think they said, like, they outdid themselves from last year on how many people they set on fire during, like, one take. And I'm like, oh, I guess we saw that during, like, the Euron throwing fucking, you know, pitch fire onto the Greyjoy fleet. Like, oh, that must have been a tough day for him. But yeah, there were, like, multiple people. Like, there was one guy that, like, Bronn just, like, walks by that's, like, just on fire, like lumbering around.
He just pushes him out of the way.
That's the worst job. That's the cool thing is, like, in a lot of the scenes that we get when people are on fire, they're all doing the same thing where they're kind of just, you know, screaming and waving their arms around. And here it felt like people had very different reactions. Like, some of them are going for the water. Some of them are ripping their helmets off. Some are...
That dude that ripped off the helmet was gross.
Yeah, falling over.
Anakin Skywalker.
It was all fucked up.
You just get, like, one dragon. You didn't even three dragons. Like, pointed at the army, and it's done. Like, game over. There's nowhere you can win.
Right?
Unless you got
fucking Bard the Bowman.
Yeah. So then we get basically, I mean, this is, you know, it's, I guess, copying a number of things, but this is very reminiscent of the Hobbit movies. You know, you got a ballista. what do they call this thing? What do they call it?
Windlass.
Scorpion.
The scorpion.
Oh, in the Hobbit, it's called the windlass. But he, like, sticks a bow and arrow on the side of a piece of wood to shoot the arrow at the dragon and that.
That's stupid. Way worse. But the best part is that, like, he's like, okay, we got that thing that can deal with the dragons. And Bronn's like, well, what are you looking at me for? Dude, I got one hand. I can't use it with one hand. And they're like, oh, yeah, real convenient, Jaime. So he runs off, and it's on this, you know, it's like, it felt like I was almost in the Wild West for a second because, like, the cart just, like, flies open.
You mean the movie, this, like, The Wild West?
Well, maybe even that, but, like, an old West movie, or, like, you know, like in Westworld or something, you know, they got the Gatling gun just, like, all of a sudden, like, shoots out of the wagon. But, like, yeah, it opens up, and I guess Qyburn designed this whole thing, which is pretty cool. But before that, Bronn, like, gets into it and just uses it to kill one dude.
Yeah, right?
That was great. I was
like,
I thought,
oh, my,
like,
God,
oh,
he waits
to
the one shot?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But, of course, he has more than one arrow. What are we stupid?
So, like, really, if it was that powerful, it would have gone right through him and not, like, pinned him up against the wall.
Yeah, it should have.
I was really glad that
they, one at a time.
Katie?
I was really glad that when Bronn, his gold scattered over the ground, I thought for sure that he was going to die because he was like trying to scoop it up desperately while someone comes up behind him.
And I was like, Alfred from The Hobbit?
Yeah, it's like, I'm glad that we didn't get that, that he was smart enough to be like, fuck it, I got to get to the scorpion.
Yeah, so, Bronn is a badass.
So, I mean, they have the crossbow with them instead of at the Red Keep, where we
They have
thought-
one of them.
I'm assuming they made more than one.
I assume that they only made one, and they brought it on this like trip because they're like, you know what, the dragon might fucking, you know, attack.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as they thought they heard an army coming, like they maybe should have got someone to prep that thing, but
or even when they saw the dragon, like one dude's like, hey, the dragon gun, let's get that.
Well, they were so I think they were just so shocked, and I mean. There's the one part that was a little hilarious is we have this giant army and Bronn tells Jaime to just like fucking run for it, like get back home because we're all about to die. And there's this huge charge and they're breaking through the lines and all that, except for right where Jaime and Bronn are. It's like there's these people on foot fighting against Dothraki, like on horse, and they're just kind of like rubbing up against each other, fighting, like holding the line, which I thought was a little comical, but you know, whatever. Yeah, so. Bronn, you know, finally gets his shit going, shoots at Dany, misses, there's fire and shit everywhere, shoots again and hits her. And this is, I thought, kind of interesting, because if you look at the promo footage we got from before the season and, like, the footage for, like, the next episode, they edited the part. It's actually the photo I have for the Skype thread. Like, they edited that part, because that shot, he's actually got the arrow, like, like, sticking out of his side. But in all the promo images, it's gone. So... that was kind of a clever bit of editing, I think.
I was very worried during the scene because I did not want anything bad to happen to Jaime and I didn't want anything bad to happen to the dragon. And I was very concerned that one or both of them were going to bite it this episode.
Well, then D&D did their job because I think they said after the episode, they said basically the same thing that like, you don't really want anyone to win or lose, like, in this encounter. Because we have, like, several kind of main characters facing off, and you kind of, you're like, no. So it's, like, it's a unique experience, I think, for the show. And did anyone die? We're getting there, but we're not really sure yet.
Jaime fell.
Well,
did anyone
die? Jaime fell full armor.
40 feet of water.
Yeah, so with his golden hand to weigh him down, that's what's going to do him in, man. So yeah,
he almost has one hand to flip up with, like to
so
get to the start.
Do we think is it more Jaime stupidity or Jaime bravery here? Because you see Tyrion just being like,
"Yep,
get the fuck out, run away, you know yeah. better." Yep. And he sees his chance, like, "Oh well, like Daenerys is sitting there. He thinks kind of vulnerable, and so he's like, well, maybe I can kill her."
Why can't it be both stupidity and bravery?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a little bit of stupidity and bravery, right? But I mean. I just mean, like, it's not really in him to run away here, I don't think, right?
I don't think that's in Jaime at all. Like, yeah. In his character in the books, even. Like, he doesn't run away from danger. He even jumps in that bear pit, even though he's missing a hand.
Yeah, but yeah. A bear is much different from a fucking dragon.
But if he can kill her, then, like, if the he war's dies, over. Yeah, if he dies, it doesn't matter, because he's cut off.
What are just Rocky gonna do? Like, they're just gonna be like, oh... She died. We're gonna go back over. They're gonna
no,
keep
but,
on, like,
but at the very least, like the dragon is not being is like not being controlled, and maybe that you know maybe it
which
goes
might be
else.
Worse.
Well, maybe yeah, maybe it starts burning sheep everywhere. I don't know.
Well, did you guys think it got? I thought it got shot through the neck, and then it's like in the shoulder.
At I'm first, like, that's what it looked like, but then yeah, it was
the
like
pigeon dragon
right by the wing. You're like, yeah, pull that shit out, Danny. He's fine.
Do you think we're going to get that Drogon is going to bite it this season? Like, he does get hurt in this episode, but, like, he is, like, the most visible, visibly recognizable dragon. He's kind of the most iconic one. We haven't really seen the other two up close. But if he's dead, then we don't have to worry about there being three heads of the dragon. It's just Dany and Jon on the other two.
And yet Dany just picks a new dragon. I did think about that, like... What if one of them dies, we don't have to worry about three heads. But I don't think it's going to be Drogon simply because, you know, it is Dany's dragon and he got injured here. So I feel like that's kind of like his, like, close call. and then maybe if they go to King's Landing, one of the other dragons is going to take it.
Yeah, but how does that work? Because she just took Drogon, and the other two dragons are like, what's going on?
They have no right.
Getting stolen by Jon.
No, I know, but like, I tell the fucking dog to like stay in another room and go into another room, and he follows.
And like, he pees and shits on your floor. What's your point?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess just
scared, but.
One, we can like the CGI budget, but also, I guess like she needs, like she's also trying not to set her own people on fire. So maybe like trying to coordinate three dragons into not burning the Dothraki horde alive might be in the forefront of her mind.
Right. This one, she seems
to be
able to control.
Gone into that. Like we talked earlier, like in the books, they very clearly need a writer or else they're not effective and can't really be controlled. And in the show, like we've seen them, the only time we've really seen them doing anything was burning that fleet in the bay at Marine,
which was
and
pretty
they
effective.
Were, yeah, but again, like they just were kind of following Drogon, like burn. I guess we're burning. You know,
there was only one side ships out there.
Yeah, there wasn't any sort of. It didn't seem like Dany was making them do anything. It just seemed like they were kind of her wingmen and hanging
and
on.
Her strikes were more surgical in this. Like she was like taking out the road. The stuff
yeah,
the
she
road.
Was actually using like the she was using Dracarys. She was I don't know,
breaking the shield wall for the Dothraki to charge in.
Yeah, I do love how she gets so pissed when she sees Bronn like after the first bolt misses, and he's just like, oh fuck.
So in the next episode, are we gonna have Jamie wakes up on the banks of the river. Bronn is giving him CPR. Like, oh boy, glad we got out of that scrape. Close call.
What is dead may never die.
You're a good kisser.
It seems like something that the show would do is like end on something that is completely unsurvivable in the next episode. Well, that was a close call. Like, there's.
I wouldn't call it unsurvivable. Dead. I feel like he could stand up. He can't be more than 3 feet of water. It's not like they.
No, he sank at the end. Like, he
I
was
know
sinking.
He did, but he was riding a horse in that water, like, three
in the
inches
shallows,
from where he just fell in.
He fell, like, there was a shot of them,
no,
like,
I'm,
sinking into
I'm
40
at it.
Feet.
No,
yeah,
I
I'm
saw
looking
that.
At it right now.
But
there's
I don't
a shot,
buy
yeah, they're falling deep. But at the same time, I think they're just fucking with us because they didn't give us the full, like, straight-up death. Maybe Bronn is dead. Maybe one of them is dead. But, like, I highly doubt.
Alive.
Hey, remember the head brother on the Quiet Isle? He went into the river fully armored and washed up naked as shit on the Quiet Isle.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can get some of your armor off real quick, make it for the bank, but, like, this battle's still going on, so just because they didn't drown doesn't mean that they won't be captured and killed or something else could happen.
Or that they didn't get, like, hard-boiled because, like, it's still dragon fire going over that fucking water.
Well,
so
it roasted their horses. It like, went kind of to the side where the horses were. So I think they're not supposed to be dead, but the ending does end, you know, like when we have a death like that at the end, we get like that silent credits. So it was silent for like a good 10 seconds or something. And I was like, oh, maybe he's dead. And then the music kicked in and I was like, oh, okay.
I feel like he's going to be captured and we're going to have some actual, like Peter Dinklage is finally going to give something to do, like him and Jamie.
Right.
Yeah, that would be interesting if Jamie was just a captive for the rest of the season.
Like, you fucking lied to me. You didn't kill my son.
Yeah. But did he say that in the books? Like, I feel like they didn't have that same...
No,
like,
he didn't say it in the show.
Danny's just going to take him to Harrenhal and be like, back to prison.
Hug it out.
Yeah.
Into the bear pit.
Into the dragon pit.
Danny would absolutely... Well, maybe not in the show, but... I feel like she would kill him because he killed her dad.
Yep.
Then again, she seems like pretty content with pardoning people for shit
and
like that.
And she's like, so. Yeah, I recognize my dad was terrible. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's definitely one of the people that she is not going to be just like, you're part of my squad now. And somehow Cersei dies and he like, fucks off to the north, to help with the battle. I think that's kind of the only way we see him continuing on and being useful. I don't think he joins the Dany crew under any circumstances.
No, I think Jaime and Cersei are both dead this season.
Do you think Bronn will join the crew and be like, yo, sorry, I was firing the ballista, but your boy Tyrion can really fucking vouch for bullshit.
I hope so. I hope he's just like, they promised me a castle. You got a castle? I'll fight for you.
Bronn can't die.
He's like, yeah, I fired that thing at you, but to be fair, you were burning everyone alive. So
hey, is that like river really close to the ocean? Could there be salt water in it? And Bronn could be reborn amongst salt and smoke. Just saying.
Oh boy.
What river was that? Was that the Mander or was that the Blackwater Rush? Or?
I don't know. Where do they have plateaus in Westeros?
In Dorne.
Yeah. In Utah?
In the West.
I mean, this is like somewhere in Spain or something, right? Totally. I mean, I don't know. With that accent. This was all they don't shoot anything in America, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I've been to Spain and I don't remember seeing plateaus.
Okay. You've been everywhere in Spain.
Yes, okay.
You saw
okay.
it all.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's probably likely that that they were going back along the Mander. Maybe, you know, because that's where the road takes them. But yeah, I don't think it matters too much. It could have been like the Blackwater Rush if they were a lot closer to King's Landing, right?
And that's what Tarleyface was saying, that the Gold already made it over the Blackwater Rush and is on its way to King's Landing. I think that's what we're...
Yeah, okay, we'll have to look at that. I'll have to go back and look at that scene then. Because I must have missed that.
What happened to Randall Tarly?
Hopefully he's burned. Or maybe he finally gave a fuck about his sword and was like, okay, now that we've done this, I'm heading to Old Town. Now that we're this close, I'm just going to make the rest of the way to Old Town.
You guys got it, right? You guys are cool? I'll leave my son here?
Or maybe he's taking up residence in Highgarden. Someone has to occupy Highgarden. Even if they just leave, like, you know, 100 Lannisters behind or something, right?
I mean,
I guess they don't have to.
Well, I mean, they still have like food and shit all active around there. Like, you want you know, a garrison to kind of manage that.
Yeah, but no one took over Castamere or Tarbeck Hall, right?
Or Dragonstone, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I feel like castles. There's no point in having them if you're just gonna leave like 40 guys. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, I mean, you had Storm's End that had like a very small garrison that's still holding out against like Aegon and held out.
Yeah, I mean, if you just need people to keep kind of the area managed, like the small folk and the towns and stuff, that's what I'm saying. Is like you're not just going to leave it empty and then people just move in.
Why not leave it empty? They don't care. Why do they care about Highgarden?
Isn't that what happened to Winterfell when he moved in? They found squatters and Roose Bolton said he wouldn't skin them if they worked for him, and he didn't.
Yeah, because Winterfell had burned and shit. And it's also the north, like, I don't know. But at this point, because what's going to happen is if they don't leave someone, or if Tarly doesn't put men in there or whatever, like some other lord is just going to market in and be like, well, Highgarden's mine now, and then, you know, it's a whole other bit of squabbling and, like, I don't know, just be stupid.
Yeah, but at this point, isn't it, like, pointless if you're to take over Highgarden and be like, Highgarden's mine now? Like, Cersei would just be like, you know, murder them all. Like, it's just too contentious of a time. Like, just fight on
maybe.
You guys are really overthinking it for the show.
We are. We really are. Hopefully, like, people are smart enough to just kind of try to stay out of things until all of this is settled, like... Not pick a side, pull a late Lord Frey on this shit.
When the main characters teleport away, the castle stop existing.
Just that the CGI disappears and it's just a hilltop like it once was.
Yep.
Yeah, so where are we going next week?
We're going to Eastwatch.
Yeah, we're going to Eastwatch next week, or at least we see the Army of the Dead going to Eastwatch. So hopefully we're going to get some more going down. Do we think that this is
Brotherhood,
like,
right?
That's what I was going to say. Do we think that this is that like excursion above the wall with like, you know, Flaming Sword and the Hound and all that? Like, are they going to make it to Winterfell and go all at once? Or
get some Hound and Tormund
badass? I mean, is Jon Snow, like, let's see, is next week going to be like word that Eastwatch is in danger? Jon Snow and Dany finally hook up and head north.
How is he going to get any information? He's stuck on Dragonstone. Like, how long is he going to be there while all...
It's going to take him, like, an episode to mine that dragon glass, dude. We're going to be fine. Like, he's going to get up there right away.
No, he'll leave from Dragonstone to Eastwatch just so they can delay the reveal that he's an actual Targaryen.
Oh, instead of him like just going straight up to White Harbor where he left from, where it makes a lot more sense.
How many episodes are left this season? Three?
It's seven, So we've got three more episodes. I'm thinking maybe Eastwatch is
our...
The last one
is 81 minutes.
Okay.
I'm thinking Eastwatch is our finale. Like, you know, like they usually do kind of like the penultimate episode is, you know, the big battle or whatever, and then it's the mop-up.
How many seasons do they have after this?
One.
Okay, well, I don't know. I was thinking maybe they'd wrap up with Cersei and Jaime.
Yeah.
I don't know. They probably
the last season is all White Walkers.
I don't know.
I don't know if there's just going
to
be one
big battle.
Like,
people are probably listening to us, and like all the fucking scripts I think have leaked online or some shit. Like, I think
for the rest of the show, what?
Well, I know that they released this week, and I don't know if they've released any other weeks, but I think like they're slowly leaking the scripts and shit online. Whoever did the hack, but yeah, people are probably listening to this and be like, we know what's going to happen, but I don't know. I don't know
what's going to happen. I like this discussion.
Yes. So I feel like the season is going to end at Eastwatch with like a big whatever. And we've got two episodes to kind of deal with the Cersei Dany shit. And we're going to get like the walls broken through or something is going to be our
finale. You think the last episode will be the wall comes down?
The wall comes down, or they just like skirt beside it at Eastwatch. I don't know why they're going to Eastwatch. It's confusing. I'm like, the White Walkers finally realize, like, you can just go around this thing. Like, I don't know.
The water's totally frozen. You can just walk on that.
Like, because that was the theory, right? That, like, when Bran was touched, they could get into the Weirwood where they were all at. So maybe there's no magic preventing them from crossing the wall, but it's still a giant wall. And, you know, the Night's King is like, I'll just go around it. Like, I mean, that's too simple. I don't know.
So, question. I haven't been spoiled or anything, but this hack, it's only for the scripts, presumably for this season, because the ones for next season haven't been.
Yes, those haven't been written. Right. So it was. I think it was like something they're claiming that it's like 1.5 terabytes of data, and I think the Sony hack was like 40 gigabytes or something, or I don't know. It's like way more data that they got, so. They don't know exactly what they got as far as, like, you know, shows and stuff. Yeah. I assume that they got a bunch of videos, but they claim they got every script for this season.
Hmm. Look at the bright side. Maybe we'll get an internal memo explaining Roz.
Well, that's what I've been waiting for, is, like, all the behind-the-scenes stuff at HBO that's going to come out or something. And I'm guessing whoever did this, like, went until they got Game of Thrones scripts, and they're like, well, I've got, like, 15,000 other documents to go through. I don't know what they are.
They're like, I've got Westworld spoilers. I'm like, we don't give a fuck, man.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're going to get to
that. We got it. Samurai World. Whatever. Shut up.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I might hunt down, like, the script leaks from this episode after this just to see if they were accurate.
Good luck just finding that one.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to do about that. Dang it. But, So, I mean, next week we've got, I think, they're going to take an episode or two and they're going to do this whole John and Danny thing. And then John's got to get back to Winterfell and figure out that he's a Targaryen. At some point, we've got to take King's Landing, maybe, right? I don't know.
Stark family reunion.
King's Landing, or do we go fight the others?
Yeah, it could be that Danny just says, you know, screw it, this North is more important. Something could change her mind. But it could be that, you know, Jaime and Cersei just hang out until the White Walkers come
love
down.
Love will change her mind.
Okay. I really hope not. Like, I know the John-Danny hookup thing is, like a really prevalent theory in the fandom, but I don't understand.
The only thing I can see, and I don't know if the show would do this, is like they hook up and it's like, oh, this was kind of cool, but she's still probably cold, right? And then like one of the dragons like is all of a sudden like, what's up, John? And all of a sudden Rhaegal. He's riding a dragon. Rhaegal. And then she gets
so he can like smell her on him. That's fucking gross.
And he's like, I'll show you the wall. It's gonna be like Aladdin like riding on the carpet, you know. Magical.
So she like touches his face and she's like, you're cold, and he touches hers, he's like, you're hot. And then
it's
they
like,
just bang it out.
By the way, I'm your aunt. Does that get
and
you
the
off?
Dragon's like, let me smell your dick.
The only way that I think that Danny just decides to march her shit north is if she takes a dragon up there or something and actually sees the threat. I mean, because she still seems to not be terribly convinced and is still very focused on killing the Lannisters. Whereas before, she was focused on killing Lannister, Starks, and Baratheons, but people have kind of beat her to a lot of that. She's like, she's got to have something.
Mostly, you know,
she joined up with a Lannister, so she's like, I got to kill at least one.
Yeah, so, I mean, judging from the previews, it looks like, obviously, this season, Jon goes up north with Beric and the Brotherhood. They get kind of surrounded, and then it looks like he either looks up and like sees the Night King or sees a dragon coming to like save them all, because like there's all these like creatures coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that there was that money shot of Beric's sword going up and him holding it like a boss, and then there was
Obi-Wan Kaberic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like he's gonna be this like mowing down whites, and then one of the White Walkers.
We're going to put in the sound effect.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one of the White Walkers will come up and be like, hey, you're dead. I can control you.
So do we have any theories on what's going to compel them? Because they're north of the wall, right? So, like, what's going to make them go north of the wall?
I don't know.
We'll have to watch. The people at
Hardhome?
No, there's no one at Hardhome. They're all zombies now.
So Tormund got Eastwatch.
Sent Tormund to Eastwatch.
The rest of the wildlings are around there?
Well, he said that they were going to have to man some of these castles, right?
Yeah, but Eastwatch by the Sea and, like, whatever other tower that they named, like, have always been manned. Like, they wanted to man other towers that were...
Yeah, but there's, like, 20 people at Eastwatch. No, in the show, in the book, they're like, we're going to man all these, you know, they're trying to man the entire wall so they can... Whatever, but in the show, it's very simple. Like, Eastwatch, I think, is what they've pretty much, like, that's what they've named. That's what they're focusing on is Eastwatch. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess, because if there's word that the Night King is, like, marching and he's about to, you know, cross at Eastwatch, I don't think that Jon is going to go with, like, five dudes above the wall, you know, at Castle Black. I think they're taking the whole army to go help, right? So... there's got to be something. Maybe Bran has something for them, or I don't know. There's got to be some reason to go up there.
We know that with 10 good men, he can impregnate a bitch.
I don't know. Jon only needs 5 good men. We're getting it. We're getting down the numbers here. It was 20 for Ramsay. It's 10 for Tyrion and Bronn, and Jon needs 5.
Well,
Dany needs 0. She just needs herself.
Asha Yara needed 50 of the best killer, right?
Yeah. All right. So, do you guys have anything else you want to say about this episode or next week or anything else?
I love this that. Episode was awesome.
A solid episode.
This was a really good episode. We all really enjoyed it. I hope everyone else enjoyed it. And next week,
Katie gave it a 4.5.
I know, like Katie knocked it down a little bit. That's okay.
I probably would have given it a 5, and then you all loved it, and I was like, oh, I gotta be the dissenting vote.
Katie contrarian.
I can't give it a 5. And I mean, like I said, like the stuff that I thought was kind of silly, it's like super nitpick stuff, and like, yeah, like the romance in the cave. It's all, it's like I can laugh at it and have a lot of fun with it. So it's like it's great, 5 out of 5.
Yeah, it's
fine. So I think next week, let's see. I don't know. We don't have an episode title for next week, episode 5. That's written by it doesn't say who it's written by. It's directed by the same person as this episode, though.
Matt Sharkman?
Matt Sharkman, yes. Or Shackman, whatever his name is. Sharkman's a cooler name, cooler. Man. Yeah.
I go by Matt Sharkman in a second.
Headcanon.
I mean... he did a great job with this episode, so I can't.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping, like, so they had this whole action sequence. Maybe they brought him in, shoot some action. Maybe we'll get some more stuff like that. I don't know. So that'll be good. But I think next week Casey's going to be hosting. Thanks everyone for joining me, and we'll see you later.
Bye now.
Bye.
Well, that was something.
Hello.
Hello.
That was some fucking awesome TV is what that was.
Oh, fuck me. Paige, I have not watched Skype and I... Wait, I need to go. Sorry. Why did I wake up and said, my phone. So sorry.
Hmm? Oh, okay.
Who's just talking?
I'm making no sense because I just woke up. Yeah, I'm so startled.
We just woke you up. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
And now I'm starting to make sense. I'm so sorry. I'll let you do your thing and I'll listen to you to it later. Enjoy the rest of your Sundays. Catch up.
Yeah, so where are we going next week?
I'll probably just stay home and watch it. I don't really need to go anywhere.
Huh. Fuck you.
I have to go down to Connecticut for family and then
you guys are not helpful.
Going to Eastwatch.
Thank you, someone. Yeah, next week we got
Katie. My name's Katie.
Oh my god.
The girl has a name.
Who are you?
This is all being cut out.
Damn it. Why? It's funny.
So we are we're coming up on episode 400, so that will hopefully be out within the next week or so.
What do you guys
see? We'll see when we hit it. Yeah, we had a couple plans, but we ended up just basically doing an SCR for the Red Wedding.
Oh, that's cool.
Except we recorded it, and none of the ladies could show up, so I had to do Catelyn for a bit, and then... That will not actually. Oh, maybe that might be in the after show.
That better be after show stuff.
Bina is going to record the actual lines, and we'll cut them together. But you don't even want to know, man. You don't even want to know. George was in New York meeting with his publisher this week, and he made a joke about how like everywhere. I think it was something like, everywhere I go in New York, people are recognizing me and stopping me for selfies. But at my own publisher, no one knows who I am. Like, you jerk. It's like the security guard had to see my ID. I'm like, yeah, that's his job.
When people are like, oh, George visited his publisher. I haven't
been here since 2011.
Like, George visited his publisher. I'm like, yeah, he also posted some cryptic shit on his blog, which disappointed everyone.
Yeah, and then he was like, why would you be upset about that? And then he posted like a day or two before about like the calendar's looking good. I'm like, he's probably just there promoting the calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Into the abyss we go.
So, yeah. Whatever.
I mean, don't get me started. Like I put in the chat thread that today in 1996, a Game of Thrones was released. Motherfucker.
It's been around longer than I have.
How old was he when he first published Game of Thrones? Like, how old is George now? 70?
60s. I feel like...
Late 60s, early 70s, maybe?
I can do the math.
How old is he? Let's see. He can
do the math by Googling.
He's 68.
He's so 68.
He was 48 in his prime, I guess.
I
think next year for his birthday, he'll give us two ways?
He'll give us wild cards.
Yeah, I think that's something that actually we don't bring up enough is like George is a lot older than he was when he first put out Game of Thrones, and you know, maybe at this point in his life he doesn't want to spend every day sitting alone in a room typing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, most people are retired at his age and he's kind of semi-retired, but then with the show he had so much other shit come up, you know, press tours and I don't know. His life got a lot busier because of the show. So
apparently, wild cards is
all the wild cards.
Huge.
Have any of us read Wild Cards?
No,
I have not.
No, and Greg refuses. I've heard they're not very store.
No, Greg has them at the store now.
He had one, and then he said he was not going to order another one after it sold.
It could be amazing, and none of us would know.
Yeah.
What if that is like the untapped reservoir?
I'd be happy to read it after I finish a certain series I'm already on.
Why is it that none of us have read it? I mean, I guess
that's fair.
Just the editor. Is that why?
I think it's because we're embittered.
Yeah.
I mean, I only kind of really discovered them a few years ago, and I was like, oh, those look interesting. And, like, you know, I'm like, well, it had only been a couple years since Dance, so I was like, maybe I'll try to read one, but nope.
Song for Laia, Sand Kings.
Tough Voyaging's really good.
Yeah, I do hear haven't read good things about good. Tough Voyaging.
But, like, some of his sci-fi shit, Second Kind of Loneliness, like, oh my god, like, they're incredible stories. But, like, he was restrained to a short story format. He got through. And like, I feel like this world just, you know, I think he's even said in interviews, is like, I don't want to use a budget. I want to use as many characters as possible, as many things as possible.
Right.
And, like, this is what a Song of Ice and Fire is. And now it's just like,
I don't know. Maybe I'll pick up Wildcard sometime just for shits and giggles.
I mean, I'm fairly confident that we're going to be getting wins, you know, at some point. Beyond that, I don't really know. So,
Sweet Summer Child.
How reassuring. Someday.
Hey, it's mostly done, right? Come on.
Yeah, because he announced it.
We're still putting our tinfoil on and thinking that he's just, like, holding off until he finishes writing all of them.
Hopefully his publishers are like, what the fuck?
I don't know. They can keep selling, you know, the Book of Swords and the calendars and, you know, reissues and leather editions World of Ice and chained and Fire. Editions and, yeah, Rogue Prints and World Iron of Ice Blood. And Fire. And, I mean, how many copies of the anthology books have been sold just because people wanted to read his stories that were in them, you know, since the show came out. Like, so he's earning for them. Like, I don't think that's the issue.
I think I laughed so loud I woke the baby up, so I gotta go, guys.